in contact with Srila Prabhupada and served him in spreading Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, we have to recognize that they are very special souls. It's unfortunate that many of them are not actively involved in Krishna consciousness, but they are still very, very special devotees. And I hope that they'll come back again. Can you imagine when Srila Prabhupada was here, there were about 10,000 devotees. All our temples are full with devotees. Like any temple you'd go, especially in the West, you'd get an evening Bhagavad Gita class attended by about as many devotees as are here today. 200 devotees. Like Bhaktivedanta Manor, Berry Place, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Gita Nagari, New Vrindavan. So, there are hundreds of devotees. Mayapur used to have about 250 Western devotees those days. Very few Indians, but mostly Western devotees. Calcutta was a small temple, still there were about 30-40 Western devotees. It's unfortunate that many of Prabhupada's disciples today are not actively involved in ISKCON for various reasons. But I hope that they'll come back soon. And we should keep our doors open for them to come back. That's what Prabhupada's mood was like. Sometimes devotees left, and when they came back, Prabhupada was so happy that they came back. When some devotees were brought to Srila Prabhupada who left, Srila Prabhupada told them, "Why did you leave?" Those days many devotees left, sometimes sannyasis fell down, got married. Still Prabhupada was so merciful. He said, "So you got married, so what?" A sannyasi fell down and got married. Prabhupada is saying, "You got married, so what?" And he pointed out the other householders present in the room. He is married. So you got married, so what? Don't leave ISKCON. So that is how kind, that is how merciful, that's how accommodating Srila Prabhupada was. So we should make an effort to bring those devotees back. Some devotees left, some of them got married and they had other responsibilities to maintain their families, and being in the temple they couldn't. So they had to go out and take up a job. Sometimes some devotees were not treated well, and that's why they left. And sometimes devotees lost their faith after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. They left. But we should pray to Krishna that let them all come back. We want that everybody should come back. This is how the family will grow. If some devotees come and the others leave, then how it will grow? It will be like a bucket with a hole. Can you collect water in a bucket with a hole? No matter how much water you put, the water will get drained out because of the hole. So one of the first things we have to do, if we want to collect, then what? Collect water in a bucket, what we have to do? We have to seal the hole. Then only we'll be able to collect. So in ISKCON, it's unfortunately, many devotees are leaving. And as a result of that, our society is not really growing the way it should. That's why it's very important that we make a point to keep the devotees within the movement. That was Prabhupada's mood. That was Prabhupada's main concern. That was Prabhupada's one of the most important advice. No matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. Don't leave ISKCON. Because ISKCON is the platform that gives us perfect protection. So, recently I had been contacting some of my god brothers who are little distant from ISKCON today, and we are communicating, we are trying to bring them back. And many of them are responding very nicely. And those devotees are very special. They have done so much for Srila Prabhupada. And we may think that they left, but Prabhupada didn't think that they left. Those who have done so much for Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada will always feel concerned about them. So many wonderful things happened that we get to know. Like recently I came across one incident that one of our god brothers, he was from France, and he was a sannyasi. But after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, he left ISKCON. And he became involved in many unpleasant ways. And he drifted away from Krishna consciousness. In a bad way, you can say. And he contacted AIDS. And he was in a hospital. Last moment, the doctors were, he was lying on his bed. Two doctors were present there. And they were considering what to do with him now. And all of a sudden, this devotee, he sat up. And he just said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, you came." And he fell back, left his body. So the doctors didn't know what it meant. Prabhupada, you came. So the doctors told his girlfriend that this is what he said. His girlfriend also didn't know what it meant. Prabhupada, you came. Who is Prabhupada? Then one day she just came to the Hare Krishna devotees, and she knew that her boyfriend at one time was involved in Hare Krishna. So she asked this devotee, "What is the meaning of Prabhupada?" And then she narrated the whole story, what actually happened. And that's how we actually got to know that Prabhupada came personally. Although he fell down so badly, but Prabhupada did not consider his fall down. Prabhupada was concerned about all the service that he had rendered for him. In those days, Prabhupada used to give sannyas to those who are very active, very dynamic, those who achieved a lot, they are the ones who Prabhupada rewarded sannyas and gave them positions like GBC and other responsible positions. So this person, this devotee, his name is actually Prithaputra Maharaj. Very nice devotee. And I had a very good, very close relationship with him. But unfortunately, he left ISKCON. But although he left ISKCON, Prabhupada didn't leave him. Prabhupada was there. In this way we are seeing so many such wonderful instances, like Shyamalal Prabhu was mentioning about Upendra Prabhu, Prabhupada's servant. Upendra also left, and he also got AIDS. Actually, it's unfortunate that when we notice that when somebody leaves ISKCON, it just becomes so degraded and they contact all these dirty diseases. So Upendra got affected by AIDS, and when it was many years he was away from ISKCON, but when he was about to leave his body, he was in Australia, he contacted some devotees, and then the devotees took him to the temple in Murilumba. And then he left his body there, surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada's tapes playing, Prabhupada's pictures there, and he himself chanting, left his body. Now, although so many years he had been away from Krishna consciousness, he apparently had fallen down very badly, miserably. But all the service that he had rendered to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada didn't forget that. Prabhupada rewarded Upendra in this way, took him back to Godhead. Another person I remember who left his body is one American devotee, Sudama Maharaj. He was an African-American, but he was a sannyasi. Very dynamic person. He also left Krishna consciousness, and again, he also got AIDS. And when he left his body, he took shelter of the devotees. And surrounded by the devotees, he left his body. Such a wonderful day. So in this way we can see that Srila Prabhupada never forgot the devotees who rendered so much service for him. And Prabhupada rewarded them. Prabhupada is rewarding them, and Prabhupada will continue to reward them. Prabhupada's mood is, or Prabhupada's attitude is, you may have rejected Krishna, but I will not reject you. I'll be there. Because you have surrendered to me, I will take care of you. In this way, we are seeing how Srila Prabhupada is protecting his loyal devotees. So as I was saying, like, we are trying to bring those as many devotees as possible back. There was a time when, after Prabhupada left, many devotees all then started to leave, actually. After Prabhupada left, devotees started to leave. And I could see that how it happened. And also I could understand why it was happening, because many devotees were disappointed because of the way they had been treated. After Prabhupada's disappearance, there had been an unfortunate phase which can be described as a dark age, dark period in ISKCON. And many devotees left at that time. Once I was in Berkeley area, Bay Area, in San Francisco, and I was told that in that area there are many devotees, proper disciples, who are actually staying there, who left ISKCON and staying there. That was also quite a long time ago. It was about 81, actually. And one of my godbrothers, who actually told me that, there are many, one day he told me that, you know, in this area there are many devotees who left ISKCON. They are staying there. And so I told him, why don't you get their addresses and we'll go and meet them. It was Chitsukhananda Prabhu. So he collected the addresses, and so we started to visit. And wherever we went, devotees were very, very receptive. They appreciated that we went. One instance I remember, I went to one devotee's house, and he opened the door and exclaimed that Krishna heard my prayer. And then he invited us inside, and he was telling, you know, this morning I was really praying to Krishna that I was feeling so bad that I drifted away from Krishna consciousness. And I was really praying to Krishna that He helps me to regain, to revive my Krishna consciousness. And you came. I can see that how Krishna is responding to my prayer. I had a wonderful time with him and his wife. And we spent a lot of time. I was in touch with them, but then he was so caught up. So the problem actually was that when you get into household life, you have to work. Because otherwise you can't get the money that is needed, especially in countries like America. And Europe also, same. You need so much money that the temple cannot actually afford to maintain you. And that's why they leave, and sometimes they leave with a bitter feeling. Their feeling is that I gave the best of my life, I gave the prime of my youth to ISKCON. But now when I needed the help, I didn't get the support from ISKCON. That was an unfortunate development, unfortunate happening. ISKCON is young, ISKCON is not really prepared to take care of all its members, especially when they have certain needs. We are not in a position to provide for them properly. And that's why I personally feel that we need to create a financial base for ISKCON so that everybody can be gainfully engaged in this movement and nobody has to leave. Even though they become householders, they don't have to leave the movement. If we have that financial base, then we can keep all those devotees. And we can see all the successful spiritual organizations, religious organizations have that base. That's why they are successful. One wonderful example are the Mormons. They have organized everything so nicely. Like their children, when they complete their studies, for 2 years they go out in sabbatical. They go to different countries. They give their service. Preach for 2 years. And then when they come back, they have a job waiting for them. So they don't have to look for a job outside. Within the community, there is a possibility of getting the jobs. But that's not the case with our society, and that's why we are in a difficult situation. We are losing. That's why this bucket with a hole. Like, the water is draining out. Devotees are going out. We are making devotees, but many of them are going out. Of course, financial reason is not the only one. There are various other reasons also. Anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that we must make a conscious effort, a sincere effort, to keep the devotees within the movement. And those who have left the movement, we must make an effort to bring them back. How do we have to bring them, how to bring them back? We have to make different plans. And our preaching must be exciting. There must be excitement. During Prabhupada's time, the young boys and girls were joining in thousands. Why? Because it was exciting. If the excitement is not there, no one will join. We have to create the excitement. During Prabhupada's time, there was excitement. You could join the movement and you had so many possibilities. You could go to different corners of the world and open new centers, spread Krishna consciousness. And they were very dynamic leadership, which motivated the devotees. There was this Radha Damodar party, started by Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnu Jan Maharaj. They had these buses, Greyhound buses, that used up. They used to buy these used Greyhound buses, and they started off with one or two buses, and then the number went up to 10 buses. So 10 buses means 500 devotees. Just can you imagine 500 devotees continuously traveling from university to universities and preaching? And isn't it exciting? Travel in bus, go to new places. And those days, by Krishna's arrangement, the time was also ripe. Those days, West was in the grip of the counterculture, the hippie movement. And in America, people were becoming hippies, the young boys and girls. They were leaving home, coming to the streets in search of a counterculture and a positive alternative. They wanted a life which is different from the ordinary American life at that time. So the cream of American youth were on the streets. Then Prabhupada went and picked them up from the streets. Made them into devotees. They wanted to be on the streets, and Prabhupada showed him a life that you can be on the streets and travel around the world and spread Krishna consciousness. Actually, Radha Damodar party of Tamal Krishna Maharaj became so exciting that all the devotees wanted to join Radha Damodar party. They would go to a temple and stop for a day or two, and then when they would leave, all the brahmacharis would leave the temple. They all joined, they all wanted to be in that Radha Damodar party. And the temple presidents were in anxiety that if it keeps on happening, then all the temples will become empty. And they complained to Srila Prabhupada about that. And Prabhupada, for the sake of protecting the temples, Prabhupada practically stopped that Radha Damodar party at that time. Although they were distributing books, but and making devotees, but Prabhupada saw that it can be damaging. That's why Prabhupada prevented that. And also, the mood also was quite aggressive. They were making a point. Actually, they were preaching to the temple devotees to take them out. So that's what upset Srila Prabhupada so much. Prabhupada's point was, you go out and make new devotees. Why do you have to steal the devotees from the temple? Make devotees. If your program is that exciting, then go out and make devotees outside. And they started to make devotees. There was a saying that Radha Damodar party buses had two doors. So with one, from one door they would go in, and when they would come out of the other door, they are all shaped up. Actually, inside the bus, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Maharaj would be preaching to the boys. Their boys would be brought in, new candidates would be brought in, and their preaching was so powerful, so effective, that when they would come out of the other door, they were already shaved up. And those days, we used to count the numbers. We used to count the number of books distributed, and we also used to count how many people got shaved up. We used to call that Sikha points. How many people shaved up and grew a Sikha. So, main point is that Krishna consciousness must be exciting. It is exciting. But unfortunately, the world had gone through a difficult, critical phase after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. We see up to the early 80s, that trend was there, that people were looking for a positive alternative, they were looking for something dynamic, they were looking for a new kind of life. And ISKCON gave that life. But then the culture changed. Those days, one everybody, the youth, especially the intelligent, young, bright boys and girls, they're dropping out from their studies. They're giving up their studies and looking for something revolutionary. But then a time came when everyone was looking for a career. The trend was to climb up the corporate ladders. Those days they were not into looking for something different. But a time came when they were trying to make adjustments with the present strain, with the social norm. Get a job, get a good job, get a career, have a nice family, and so forth. And that trend is still going on. But it's going to change now. It's going to change with the credit crunch and financial meltdown. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands of young boys and girls are going to lose their jobs. They're already losing their jobs. Many young boys, after studying for so many years in the universities, pursuing their career, trying to pursue their careers, will not have a will not find an opening, will not find a job. Then what will happen? They look for something. And in this way we can say Krishna is actually preparing this world again for a Hare Krishna explosion, for a spiritual explosion. But when they don't have jobs, what they will do? We can go and tell them, come and join us. We'll have many programs like Radha Damodar Party and so forth.